Chapter 83, The Walk to Emmaus. This chapter is based on Luke 24, verse 13 to 33. Late in the afternoon of the day of the resurrection, two disciples were on their way to Emmaus, a little town 8 miles from Jerusalem. These disciples had come to keep the Passover and were greatly perplexed by the events that had taken place. They had heard the news in regard to the removal of Christ's body and also the report of the women who had seen the angels and had met Jesus. Now returning home, they were talking over the scenes of the trial and crucifixion. Never had they been so utterly disheartened. On their journey, they were joined by a stranger, but were so absorbed in their gloom that they did not observe him closely. They continued expressing the thoughts of their hearts, reasoning in regard to the lessons Christ had given, which they seemed unable to comprehend. Jesus longed to comfort them. He understood the conflicting, perplexing ideas that brought to their minds the thought, "Can this man, who suffered himself to be so humiliated, be the Christ?" They wept. Jesus longed to wipe away their tears and fill them with joy and gladness. But he must first give them lessons they would never forget. He said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" They told him of their disappointment in regard to their master, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. With quivering lips they added, "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Strange that they did not remember Christ's words and that he had foretold that the third day he would rise again. The priests and rulers did not forget. Incognito, Jesus explains the scriptures. Then he said unto them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? Who could this be that he should speak with such earnestness and sympathy?" For the first time, they began to feel hopeful. Often they looked earnestly at their companion and thought that his words were just the words that Christ would have spoken. Beginning at Moses, the Alpha of Bible history, Christ expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Had he first made himself known to them, they would have hungered for nothing more. But it was necessary for them to understand the types and prophecies of the Old Testament. On these their faith must be established. Christ performed no miracle to convince them. It was his first work to explain the scriptures. He showed from the prophets that his death was the strongest evidence for their faith. Jesus showed the importance of the Old Testament as a witness to his mission. The Savior is revealed in the Old Testament as clearly as in the New. Light from the prophetic past brings out the life of Christ and the teachings of the New Testament with clearness and beauty. Stronger proof than the miracles of Christ is found in comparing the prophecies of the Old Testament with the history of the New. The disciples' expectation of a Messiah who was to take his throne and kingly power in accordance with the desires of men had been misleading. His disciples must understand in regard to the cup of suffering that had been apportioned him. He showed them that the awful conflict was the fulfillment of the covenant made before the foundation of the world. Christ must die, as every transgressor of the law must die if he continues in sin. All this was to be, but it was not to end in defeat, but in glorious victory. Jesus told them that every effort must be made to save the world from sin. His followers must live as he lived and work as he worked, with persevering effort. Thus Christ discoursed to his disciples that they might understand the scriptures. As he told them of the overthrow of Jerusalem, they looked on the doomed city with weeping. But little did they suspect yet who their traveling companion was, for Christ referred to himself as though he were another person. He walked as carefully as they over the rough stones, now and then halting with them for a little rest. Their hearts were drawn to the stranger.
During their journey, the sun had gone down, and the laborers in the fields had left their work. As the disciples were about to enter their home, the stranger appeared as though he would continue his journey. But the disciples hungered to hear more from him. "Abide with us," they urged. He did not seem to accept the invitation, but they pressed him. "It is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Christ yielded to this entreaty and went in to tarry with them. Had the disciples failed to press their invitation, they would not have known that their traveling companion was the risen Lord. Christ never forces his company on anyone. Gladly will he enter the humblest home, but if men are too indifferent to ask him to stay with them, he passes on. The simple evening meal was soon prepared and placed before the guest, who had taken his seat at the head of the table. Now he put forth his hands to bless the food in exactly the same way as their master used to do. The disciples started back in astonishment. They looked again and saw in his hands the print of nails. Both exclaimed, "It is the Lord Jesus!" They rose to cast themselves at his feet, but he had vanished. They looked at the place occupied by one whose body had lately lain in the grave and said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" With this great news to communicate, their weariness and hunger were gone. They left their meal untasted and hurried on the same path by which they had come to tell the disciples in the city. They climbed over steep places, slipping on smooth rocks, desiring to go faster than they dared. They lost the track, but found it again. Sometimes running, sometimes stumbling, they pressed forward, their unseen companion beside them all the way. The night was dark, but the sun of righteousness was shining upon them. They seemed to be in a new world. "Christ is risen." Over and over they repeated it. They must tell the sorrowing ones the wonderful story of the walk to Emmaus. They must tell who joined them by the way. They carried the greatest message ever given, glad tidings on which the hopes of the human family for time and eternity depend.